This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. Dear all, welcome back to our first session in our short series as we study together the morals, manners and etiquettes with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially during the month of Al-Quran. Now, just before the break, we began discussing our very first moral and very first lesson, and that was the lesson of Al-Ikhlas. And before moving on to our next point, I just want to mention to you a very important hadith that makes manifest the importance of having sincerity and ikhlas when worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through reading his book. Abu Hurairah radiallahu an narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the first man to be judged on the day of resurrection is a man who learned knowledge and taught it as well as recite the Quran. He goes on to say that he will be brought forward and acquainted with his blessings, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, do you recognize these blessings? And obviously he will say that yes, he will acknowledge it. He would be proud of the fact that he spent his years on this earth with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning from the bountiful and manifest lessons of the Sharia as well as teaching it to others. Only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell this person, kadhat. Subhanallah. Only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell this person, you have lied. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will explain that you learned for the sole purpose of people calling you a scholar. And you recited the Quran for the sole purpose of being termed a reciter. Subhanallah. Meaning that what you did was not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it was for name and fame. Subhanallah, what a loss would a person be on the day of Qiyamah if they were to hear this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. And it doesn't end there, for in this hadith, which is found in Sahih Muslim, it states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command for this particular person to be dragged upon his face and flung into the depths of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So, dear servants of Allah, and O children of Adam, ensure that you become profound in terms of developing within yourself this important aspect of ikhlas. It is extremely important, and I cannot speak to you enough to actually cover all the points that make us understand how important it is to have ikhlas. So remember, as we said just before the break, that there are two pillars for any act of worship to be accepted, right? And worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is done through reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, it is important that we have ikhlas, and that is the first pillar. And the second pillar is that all acts of worship should be done according to the teachings of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So those are the two pillars, but the most important of them all for this particular series in terms of our manners with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is purifying our intention and making our recitation and our time spent with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book solely for Him. The next moral and etiquette that I'd like to share with you all during this particular series, my dear mothers, my dear fathers, my dear brothers and sisters, is the importance of practicing upon the lessons found in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, this is indeed from the good manners with the book of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. It is important that when we spend time with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we learn the do's as well as the don'ts. And it doesn't end there. We make sure that we put into practice that which we have learned. We are upon the do's always, and we ensure that we stay away from the don'ts. We consider halal as halal, and we consider haram as haram. Our methodology with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based upon sami'na wa ata'na. We have heard and we will obey. So this is from the good manners, O servants of Allah, with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us the punishment for a person that acts contradictory to the lessons found in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we must do everything to stay away from the punishment of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So in the Sunnah, we find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explaining that he saw in a dream a man laying flat, with another man behind him carrying a large boulder. And this man would strike his head with that boulder, and that boulder would then roll away. And as he would go to retrieve the boulder, this man's head that was smashed previously would come back to normal, only to be struck and smashed again, and the process will continue until the day of Qiyamah. Subhanallah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to explain that this is a person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Quran, but he would sleep from it at night and not apply it during the day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from this punishment. And so this is a very important point, that we ensure that we practice the lessons found in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, it is disrespectful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, over and above being disrespectful to the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us towards something and we feel, Allahul Musta'an, that we know better. And we act contradictory to the command of Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Another etiquette, dear all, that I'd like to share with you all during our series is the importance of being consistent and continuous with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, Al-Quran. This is from the good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person that is continuous in their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this act of worship of this person is actually more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that from the most beloved acts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that act which is consistent, even if it is a little. أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَلَى أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. That which is continuous. Even if you recite 3 verses a day, but ensure that it is every day, right? That a person who recites 3 verses every day is better than a person who reads an entire chapter once a week or once a month or once a year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Because indeed, if we do not have a daily relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, then only we stand to lose, our heart stands to lose, our soul stands to lose, and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become weaker and weaker with every day. So, from the good manners is to ensure that we are continuous and consistent. Even if it is a little, but ensure that it is something that you put into practice every day. Being continuous with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, and this is from the fruits of having this good etiquette with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, is that the lessons found in his book become consolidated. We are able to remember the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for those that are memorizing verses in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are actually able to strengthen our memorization to ensure that we do not forget those verses that were memorized. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma reports that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The example of the companion of the Quran is that of an owner of a tied camel." So a person has a camel and they've tied this camel. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if he is vigilant over it, he will hold on to his camel. His camel will remain with him. His camel will not ever become lost. However, if he releases it, if he leaves it at a particular venue without tying it, then it will go away. So this hadith teaches us the importance of being continuous with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continuous with the lessons that we learn from it. Continuous with the verses that we have memorized from it as well. For when we do so, it is like a person who has a camel and has tied that camel. The Quran will remain with us forever. Abu Musa radiallahu an reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Maintain the Quran, for by the one in whose hand is my soul, it goes more intensely than do camels from their hobbles." And this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari, and it's a pertinent hadith, especially for those that are trying to memorize the Quran. And it happens, the Quran is easy to memorize, subhanallah. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but when we fail to revise that which we have memorized, it becomes forgotten very quickly. And that's why my advice to those that are memorizing the Quran, I always tell them that the difficult part is not in memorizing it. That's not the difficult part. Many people, when they enter the halaqa or a madrasa, and they intend to memorize the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is difficult, it requires patience, continuity, going there every day. But I tell them that this is not difficult. The difficult part will start after you complete memorizing it. That's what is more difficult. Why? Because now you have the task of maintaining that memory until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that is from the complete good manners, morals and etiquettes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. Now, I want to share with you a footnote. Because somebody might ask, and this is common, and it has been asked rather, that when we memorize the Quran and we forget something, right? Should we say, I forgot what I memorized, or should we say, I was made to forget that memorized, right? So this is also from the good manners with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanAllah, that our Sharia even teaches us what to say. For example, if we memorize something and forgot that which we memorized. So we find, for example, some of the ulama, like An-Nawawi, Imam An-Nawawi, the famous Shafi'i scholar, he said that it is disliked, it is makruh, disliked, for one to say, I forgot, when they have actually forgotten a verse that was previously memorized. Now, the reason for this is that in context, sometimes the word nasiya, which is an Arabic word and can mean forget, the word nasiya can also denote negligence in specific contexts, right? And language is contextual. A word can have a meaning, but in a specific context, it can give out a different meaning. So Imam An-Nawawi says that since the word nasiya in some contexts denotes negligence with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is from the bad practices with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, this is from the bad manners with the Qur'an, then from the completeness of one's character with the Qur'an is that they shouldn't say that I forgot. They shouldn't use the word nasiya in the Arabic language. Rather, they should say unsit, or I was made to forget. I was made to forget. This is from the better practices with the book of Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So this is just a footnote for one and all, so that we can perfect our relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our time has come to the end for this particular episode. So in summary, if we memorize something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, ensure that if we do forget it, we adopt this important character of not saying that I forgot it. Rather, we should say, I was made to forget, and ensure that we are continuous with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are continuous with the recitation of the Quran, even if it is a little. With that, we have come to the end of today's session. I love you all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until we meet again, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليتدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب